Back to Head Games with Seth Joyner coming up in a minute. Andrew Douglas talking about youth football camps and the junior player development program. But Seth, speaking of player development, there is such a unanimity from the Chargers players to have the confidence, the belief that Marty cares about them. You can say it's X's and O's, but you've got to have that level of belief and confidence in the head coach. How difficult is it going to be, let's say, for a Mike Singletary to replace him?
Well, I think initially it'll be difficult because I think, and as in any camp, you know, you have some players that are loyal to the head coach that was, you know, that has recently been fired, and then you have some players that are glad to see, you know, some change come about. So there's going to be some resistance in a lot of different ways for a while, but, you know, if the leaders on that football team can pull everyone together and get them to understand that no matter who the head coach is, their objective is to win football games and to win a championship, then eventually they'll be fine. It could hurt them at the beginning of the season if they don't get it rectified during the off season with unity and some kind of cohesion. But the, you know, like I said, no matter who the head coach is, the objective is to win a championship, and you have to put all the other stuff aside.
And for that reason, I don't see a Pete Carroll who would be, you know, near the top, if not at the top of the list, would come to San Diego knowing that, once again, there is this glaring lack of process, lack of respectful professional interaction. When you can have two guys as successful and talented as they are at their individual jobs and they can't even talk, just how embarrassing is that?
Well, I think it's really embarrassing because, you know, to me it sounds like they both put their egos ahead of the team. And, you know, Mr. Smith's comment that, you know, today, once and for all, you know, I'm rectifying this situation, just goes to show that they basically just got in a chest bumping contest and the GM was actually chose over the head coach, something that you very, very rarely see, especially when the coach has had the type of success that he's had. But I don't know. I mean, I think San Diego's really put themselves behind the eight ball, Nick, because, you know, when you look at the situation, there's really not much left. You know, all the good coaches, for all intents and purposes, have basically been hired already. Not to say that there isn't someone out there that can come in and get the job done, but, you know, it's so late in the season. February is almost halfway over. It's basically halfway over today. You've got March and then April. You got to take in consideration, you know, draft situations. Are we looking at a situation where, you know, Smith is basically taking over the reins of this football team until the head coach can be in place? And then how is that going to play out long term as far as who you bring in as a head coach if your GM is the guy that's making all of the decisions?
Well, you got to give Smith credit. One thing he's been able to do is bring in some quality people, and including a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, you know, Castillo, of course, Merriman, etc. But let's go through the options here. Mike Singletary would be my pick. Rex Ryan's out there. Ron Rivera. They're even talking about Norv Turner. Who'd be your pick?
Well, you know, I'd obviously like to see someone new, you know, take a shot at it. Not that I don't like Norv Turner, but Norv Turner has had his opportunities, and each time, you know, he's proven
he's over three.
I mean, he's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's a better coordinator than he is a head coach. So why not bring a guy like a Mike Singletary in, and, you know, he's going to bring some defensive attitude. You know, offensively, you know what you have with this football team. Do they have some areas that need to be filled on the offense? Sure, they could use, you know, a high-powered wide receiver, someone that scares offenses, you know, so you have that combination of quarterback, running back, you know, and wide receiver that you have to double. But I think the onus for this football team is probably going to have to be on the defensive side of the ball, because quite certainly with Wade Phillips moving on to the Dallas Cowboys, you know, you're going to have to figure out, okay, how are we going to run this 3-4 defense, and I think it's almost impossible for them to change because they have the personnel that's set up to run that type of defense. I mean, Sean Merriman is not a guy, I don't think, he's not going to be as effective as he is in the 30 front as he would be in the 40 front if they decide to move from the 30 to the 40 defense. So I think it has to be someone, you know, with some defensive background, someone, you know, with a defensive eye, because I believe
right.
offensively they're going to be just fine. They need some help on the defensive side of the ball. Because
and maybe some mentorship there at the quarterback position, as you say, and a little bit more talent at wide receiver. Final question before we move on to junior youth football player development. Rex Ryan with Baltimore, Ron Rivera with Chicago, Mike Singletary. Who's your pick?
Interesting.
Putting you on the spot.
Ron Rivera, you know, is a guy that played, you know, under Buddy Ryan. You know, Rex is obviously, you know, Buddy's son. But, you know, when I look at a guy like Mike Singletary, a guy that, you know, played in Buddy's system, that understood Buddy's system inside and out. And there's some intricacies of that defense, you know, that allows you to play some 30 fronts, 40 fronts, some bear fronts, eagle front, all kinds of different things. I would look at a guy like Mike Singletary and say, okay, he brings validity to the table. Validity from the standpoint that not only has he played defense, has he a Hall of Famer, but, you know, he's been a coach for a while, and I would like to see a guy like Mike Singletary bring his credentials to the forefront, you know, and become the head coach of the San Diego Chargers.
And absolutely, when you see the kind of job he did at the Senior Bowl, everybody says this is a guy who has the skill sets to win over the loyalty quickly. So my pick certainly is Mike Singletary as well. We're going to switch now to Andrew Douglas, who has been you've been a vice president at the major corporate level, Andre, and then somehow out of the blue you purchased the New York Sharks women's tackle football team. How on earth did you go from one side of the map to the other so quickly?
Well, that really is kind of a stretch, isn't it, Nick? How did that happen? Well, you know, I guess I always loved football, and there were no opportunities for me, so I ended up in corporate America, and then this opportunity came along, and it was bye-bye corporate America. So.
And you were one of the two quarterbacks on a 70-player roster as well. The Sharks are supposedly the premier team of over 80 teams in women's football. Did you know they existed, Seth Joyner?
I do now.
Don't feel
well,
alone.
Let's talk about the Junior Player Development Program. And, of course, we're always interested in, on a regular basis, bringing in women to get their take. And normally it's been in traditional sports. But what is the reality that the Seth Joyner and Nick Lowry don't know about women's football in this country? Women's tackle football, not flag.
The reality is it's such a growing sport, and nobody knows about it. There are over 80 teams across the nation. And I think the only thing keeping us from really taking off is not having a feeder system. But if this junior player development program really takes off, then, you know, maybe other teams across the nation will do it. Who knows? We may develop.
So where are you getting your funding?
We fund it through people like myself. I pay for the majority of my team's expenses, and then the players pay. A lot of teams is fully player sponsored.
Do you get any help from the National Football League and their junior football program?
Well, we're hoping. This is the first ever event, and it's for girls. It's at Giant Stadium. It's coming up March 3rd and 4th, and it's huge that the NFL has allowed us to host this program, and we're really excited.
Seth Joyner, what's been your experience? Go ahead and be sexist if you're being realistic. I think it's more about the honesty of it. Do you think women can actually play football at a level where it's worth watching by a broad audience?
Well, I think so. I it's not that, you know, I would even bring a sexist attitude to it. The only issue that I have is when you see women a la Michelle Wee trying to compete with men, you know, on the field of play. Not that they can't, but I just personally would prefer to see women playing against women and men playing against men. And I don't think that there's anything sexist about that.
I agree with you, Seth, totally.
So, you know, if the way that they're doing it, the way it's formatted, the way it's put together, I honestly believe that, you know, it can be entertaining, and if, you know, men can just give it a chance to go and look at it and see it and see what the product is that they're putting out on the field, you know, they very well might find it quite entertaining.
And in the era of Title IX, Andra, tell me about how that has helped with the growing confidence of women in team sports, in all sports. Women are weightlifting more. They are learning all the latest techniques for any gender, either gender, in terms of getting strong and agile, et cetera. How much does this generation have it over past generations because they've been treated more equally?
Oh, my gosh. There's such a difference. I started playing, the league started 7 years ago. And even when I started playing, we didn't have the weight training. We weren't as accepted. If you had an athletic body, we weren't accepted. We had to be different. We, meaning my generation, I'm in my 40s. So my generation had to be different so that the women today can be just normal, and Title IX had a huge effect on that.
Well, let's develop a vision, and then, Seth, I'd like your comment on it. What does your vision say for 5 years from now? In other words, there are those that would say, if women are playing football, are these women that wouldn't be playing other sports, or are we taking away from other sports that are more naturally, if you will, conducive to women participating, not where it's blocking and tackling? Are you saying that, indeed, that blocking and tackling, the experience of that is the kind of worthwhile endeavor that women can benefit from?
Are you asking me, Nick?
I'm asking you.
Yes, absolutely. I think so. Absolutely. There are so many women that want to be to participate in athletics that will benefit from all kinds of athletics, and we certainly know there's enough women to go around, to play all the sports. And, I come across women all the day, all the time, and the greatest joy they get out of playing football is hitting someone. this is not just for men.
So what's the biggest hit you've seen? Just how violent does it get?
Oh, my gosh. I think our free safety, Val Halesworth, hit someone in a game one time, and the other player did not get up. And Val jumped up and ran off. But she had her bell rung, but you could hear it way up in the stands. And it's fun to watch. Most guys, they really kind of are skeptical about it, and then they come out and they see a game, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is women, and they come back. So slowly but surely it's catching on, and I've also noticed that the more experienced the women get, again, this is the seventh year that we've been playing, the more experienced they get, the better the game.
Seth Joyner, give us your take, and then when we come back, I just want some final comments about this. Does it give you confidence that women can actually build this into something that can be, an unprecedented new sporting opportunity? Do you think it can really be a success down the road?
Well, I think if the women are interested in it and they love what they do, like she said, after 7 years, the skill set is going to continue to get better and better, which means the quality of the sport is going to get better and better. And if that continues to happen, it's just a matter of time before it begins to open some eyes and people, take interest in it.
When we come back, final thoughts from Andrew Douglas about women in tackle football and our good friend Seth Joyner from Jim Rome is Burning and more on Head Gains Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.